Better East. Hey, that was much faster than I anticipated. Hey, folks, thanks for tuning into the BAMP podcast. I'm your host, Mike Lafferty. Oh, and the guy making silly faces below me is Jacob Blackman. How you doing, Jacob?
Hello, glad to be here.
Yeah. Hamming it up for the camera down there, Jacob. And the guy directly to this side of me is DT Buccino. Am I saying that?
It's close enough.
Sorry, I'm not even close to being Italian, sir. Thank you very much for joining us.
We should probably arrange for the pronunciations of names before their show starts.
Well, yes, no. Yes, we should.
Nobody pronounces my last name right most of the time, so it's cool. Don't worry about it.
Well, just go ahead and humor us since the topic's out there, naked for all to see. What is the exact pronunciation?
It's actually Buccino.
Buccino. Okay.
Believe it or not, the last name is French.
I wouldn't have guessed. All right, cool.
Yeah, I know.
So that roguish musketeer facial hair makes more sense now. I got
yeah,
you.
Well, you know.
All right, cool. And let's talk about what you do. You are a guy who does a ton of releases for Mutants and Masterminds Third Ed. And let me get your drive-through page up here. We can check it out. Boom, look at all this stuff.
Oh, yeah.
Now, you're doing this under the umbrella of Zion Studios, but that's Charlie McKelvey's. But you yourself are Sketchpad Studios, so you're kind of an imprint there, right?
Correct.
And look at you got so much cool stuff. And I dig your art, by the way.
All the Acts of Villainy stuff and Acts of Heroism stuff is mine, and the Watchguard stuff is all Charlie's. Although I work on some of his stuff as well.
Okay, cool.
Yeah, I've always been really impressed with the art in this line. It's always been gorgeous.
Thanks, Jacob.
Well, hey, tell us a little bit. Let's pretend we have a listener who's not familiar with your work. How would you describe the Acts of Villainy line to them?
So the Acts of Villainy and the Acts of Heroism line are all part of a universe called the Tribute Universe. It's been my kind of default campaign universe since about the mid-80s. And I've played it in about six or seven different superhero games. When Mutants Masterminds came out, and they actually came out with their great third-party program, I started making stuff for it, and I started actually bringing some of those characters, and kind of allowing other people to kind of peek behind things. Charlie McKelvey is a little bit of the inspiration for it because he started the whole thing up with his Watchguard stuff, and I remember having a great discussion with him as a fan, and saying that I really liked his format because I've always been a big fan of Handbook. Sort of comics, and that's what these really are. The books themselves serve as a handbook, and then there's a page basically with stats. Mm-hmm. But it's a fun project. It's something my wife and I do. My wife actually serves as the editor, and I do design, I do illustration, I do most of the character concepts. She's done a few.
Okay, cool. And these are just bite-sized little chunks of villainy people can pick up. Oh, geez, Louise, you guys must be in the Black Friday sale because, like this one looking at here, Paradox, that's 59 cents.
Yep, they're usually only a buck for a character.
Mm-hmm. Okay,
we want something quick. We want something that somebody could just go in, not spend a lot of money, get the character, and basically just throw it into their game that evening.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I gotta say, I love that model. When I used to do books at Vigilance Press, that was my idea, was short, quick, you know, either single character releases or short scenarios with just a map, a character, and then, you know, boom. Yeah. No extraneous, hey, here's my failed novel, you know, kind of exposition dumps. Damn, look at this guy.
Yeah.
Well, what's the story of Bloodletter? I'm curious.
He actually is a former hero that is killed several years before the main campaign starts, which is in modern days, and he's brought back by the Pentacle of Shadows.
Mm-hmm.
He's a martial artist, think kind of like an Iron Fist sort of character, and he is corrupted when he's brought back to life.
Okay. So sort of a rotted capes, kind of Marvel Zombies kind of thing.
A little bit, yeah.
Yeah. All right, cool. So you guys have been doing this for, at least 7 years, right?
Pretty close to it.
Yeah.
We've taken a little bit of a break, but yeah. Excuse me.
Now, this guy looks familiar.
Blackjack is kind of like if you took Taskmaster and Deathstroke and kind of combined them.
Sweet. Yep. So that is a long tenure in the Mutants and Masterminds third-party world. How have you guys enjoyed that? Has it been a fun ride, good interactions with fans?
It's been interesting. We've had some great conversations with our fans. We've had some great some great conversations with people and brought them into the fandom. I hate to say it, but I'm such a show when it comes to being on things like the Facebook page for Mutants Masterminds. You know, that someone will say something like, "Oh, you know, we really need this character. We really need a character like this." I'm like, "Well, I've got this character right here, and I'll throw a link out."
Well, I mean, this beautiful thing about this model is you got little bite-sized chunks that you can. Oh, hey, if something to slot into that niche, something to slot into that niche. You know, it's the way you're publishing that model kind of lends itself directly to that kind of, you know, hands-on direct marketing. Yep. Oh God, I sound like a business asshole, don't I? I'm sorry, I didn't mean to.
That's what we're here for. We're all businessmen.
Yeah, yeah.
We love creating, but we'd also like that to get paid for our creations.
Indeed. Why? So you guys are all PDF, and before the show, you said we're doing some kind of, hopefully in 2021, we're getting away from PDFs and doing a big POD compilation. Is that right?
Well, what we're going to try and do is a lot of people have asked us, like, for a timeline of the Tribute Universe. They've wanted to know, like, what types of characters are being played, stuff like that. So what we're looking at in 2021 is we're going to release something that's going to be called the Player's Guide to the Tribute Universe.
Okay.
Which is going to give you kind of a quick rundown of the cities. It's going to give you a quick rundown of some of the organizations, templates, house rules, and a timeline. And also, hopefully, some testimonies from some of the players that I've had over the past, 20 Mutants Masterminds has been around for 20 years, 20-ish.
It sounds about right, yeah.
Because we've been playing M&M since first edition.
Oh, wow. You guys were early adopters. That's cool.
Yeah, we play tested every edition of it.
Nice.
Yeah, it was very cool.
You guys remember Atomic Think Tank?
Oh, yeah.
Those are fun days, huh?
Yep, I was pretty active on there.
Yeah.
Those were good halcyon days.
Yeah.
And I almost forgot, you guys have a line of heroic pregens people can pick up, you know, to get into a game fast, like Black Ice here.
Yeah, and every heroic one actually has an option in it to use it as a villain as well.
Double duty, I like that.
Yep. I got that from the old Champions books back in 3rd and 4th edition.
Mm-hmm. Back in the day. Oh, man, I like this guy's design, too. Is this guy more of a martial artist or more of a Black Knight kind of guy?
He's more of a martial artist. Okay. Him and his sister, who is actually Dragonhawk 3, mm-hmm. who's a villain, you can actually use them kind of either together or against one another. Mm-hmm. Almost kind of like what they've done with some of the Overwatch characters.
Okay, cool. Nice. So when that big compilation, when do you think we'll be seeing that?
Well, we're about halfway through the writing process right now. The hope is to kind of do a massive push on the creative end of it over the course of next month. I've got a couple of outstanding things I've got to take care of beforehand. But once the main writing gets done and gets handed off to my wife for editing, it's all about taking care of the art at that point and start doing a layout. So I'm hoping, you know, quarter one.
Okay. Cool. So hopefully a big Kickstarter, something like that.
No Kickstarter, just released.
Oh, okay. Smart.
That's impressive.
And it's just going to avoid all the anxiety and roller coaster and just
I've never done a Kickstarter before. I don't know if I really even can figure it out. So
it is a lot less fun than you might think.
I believe that. There was a lot of anxiety about putting these things out, and I can only imagine what would happen if I tried to do a Kickstarter.
Well, if you run a 4-week campaign, there's a big spike in the beginning and a big spike at the end. And in the middle, it's flat.
Yeah.
It's so flat.
If not going like this a little bit.
Sometimes, yeah. I remember I was running a few years ago for a Fate book, and the author was like emailing me daily going, "What's going on? Why aren't we funding? This is why?" I'm like, you gotta be patient. It's gonna fund last week, last 3 days. And so, yeah, it's I don't blame you for avoiding that route at all. So,
well, you know, I found that actually when you release stuff in PDF, I mean, I have the advantage, and I'm sure Jacob actually understands this also because he has this advantage also, that I can do the art for it and I do the writing for it. There's, you know, everything is in house, so mm-hmm. I'm not outsourcing to anything, so I haven't got to worry about paying anybody outside of myself and my wife. In this case, and it makes it a lot easier to, you know, to not have to worry about doing things like Kickstarters or GoFundMes or any sort of fundraising.
Yeah, wow. It's wrangling other freelancers can be the most difficult part.
Yeah, I live on the freelance side of that a lot of the times because, like, you know, Charlie and I actually, you know, we get along great, and he'll come up and he'll be like, "Hey, I've got this character, I need stats for," or sometimes he'll go, "I need some information about it." So I'll actually write up the character that he's given me a picture of, and we'll banter back and forth a little bit, and then he does the edits afterwards. Before I did this line, I was doing some freelance here and there because I've done some stuff for Hero. I've done some stuff for Kepper Press. I did freelance writing for Green Ronin for a little bit for some of the Mutants Masterminds books. And I mean, they were all great experiences. I kind of learned a lot from everything I've done in the past. So when I decided to go forward with my stuff, it was one of those things where I could just sit down and be like, okay, so this is all I want to put out right now. Mm-hmm. And people have been asking me for at least 4 years to do a print compilation or some sort of print thing. And that's why we're like, well, we want to be able to do it, but we want to be able to do it a little differently. We're not just going to, you know, create like a trade paperback of all these things. We're actually going to do the kind of themed books. Cause like one of our bestsellers is a book called Crime Net. And it's a fun organization. I use it in almost every campaign that I run. So we're going to start kind of with that. And it's actually going to be a theme book on using Crime Net and about using some of the villains that are actually associated with them, because 90% of the, well, I should say 90, it's probably closer to about 50. 50% of the villains have some sort of tie to Crime Net, because it basically works as a criminal temp service.
Okay. Sort of like, in DC Comics, the Intergang organization.
Yep. That was one of the inspirations for it. The idea of where does Joker get all of his goons from? Mm-hmm. You know, where does Two-Face get all of his goons from? Where does, you know,
Thugs R Us.
Yeah, right. Well, that's basically who these guys are. I've had some people give me some great reactions off of it, and we've had some good discussion about it. My group dreads Crime Net every single time they come up. Mr. Crime is he possesses people's bodies, and he always leaves this kind of new car smell. That's kind of the joke of it. So whenever they smell that, I have a couple players who almost have like a little bit of PTSD when they're playing. So
I can imagine. I think my son wants to say hi to you, Jacob. Kind of, you want to wave to Jacob? He's really been enjoying your Transformer art lately.
That's cool.
So, all right, well, cool. Yeah, I look for. So you guys aren't. It's going to be themed releases instead of one big compendium. Going to do.
There's probably going to be a crime one. There's probably going to be a mystic one down the line. Each of the Pentacle of Shadows. We'll do a science fiction one. And there's going to be new releases as well. And they'll probably be tied into these a little bit. Like we've had a lot of people ask about Sin, which is kind of our Viper, our Cobra. Mm-hmm. And when that book comes out, it'll probably be, I'm probably going to take the Champions method and actually do a Sin and like a heroic agency and do a flip book.
Have you also considered era source books, like maybe a Golden Age or Silver Age, or are you just going to be doing your modern day stuff?
It's funny because the timeline, actually there is no Golden Age or Silver Age for the Tribute Universe. Everything starts in 2000.
Okay.
There is a, for lack of a better term, there's a Nazi world. That's another dimension where some of the characters are going to come from. Those people who have actually bought the previous versions will notice that there's going to be some changes in some of the history. So some of these characters have to be rewritten a little bit to fit into the more cohesive timeline that I've created. Like, for example, I'll say Emperor Penguin, who, you know, is a fan favorite, who is basically a Nazi scientist who's been put into a penguin's body.
I'm a sucker for penguins, man. Keep talking. I like that.
He's a mentalist and he's a genius. And he's actually going, instead of being from World War II, he's actually going to be from this Nazi world where it's kind of a, what's the name of the Philip K. Dick novel?
Man in High Castle.
That's the one.
Yeah.
So where history has actually gone on where the Nazis have won. Well, he's come from that world. And when he came from this world, he was placed into a penguin instead of finding something that was more appropriate. So he'll be kind of fun. And there will be a book on, like, if you want to play a game that takes place in that world, sure. And there'll be other worlds like that also.
I think I found him. Let me get him up here to see.
Good old Emperor Penguin.
Oh, I love that, man. That's he's stroking the cat like a Bond villain. That is perfect.
Yep. That was the whole intention. He's got the fearless cat. He's fun.
It's the evil penguin. He wants to keep seeing you, Jacob. I don't know. But so all right. Well, that is really cool. Once again, people go to DriveThruRPG. They can find you under the Xion XION Studios web store. And you will be the axe of villainy and the axe of heroism. Yep. Is your stuff, and you are easy to find in the newest and hottest releases under Xion. And it looks I'll go ahead.
We're also on Facebook at Studios. If you're interested in talking to any of us, that's the best place to reach us. And while you're at Drive Through, if you actually want to check out Charlie's books, please do, because his stuff is much better than mine.
I actually forgot you guys had a Facebook page. That's crazy. I should put that up too. Okay. And I don't know if we'll ever get Charlie on because, wow, he is busy. But he has a spider squirrel. His character is going to be coming out soon, right?
Yep. I think he might actually have spider squirrel up on drive-thru right now.
Really?
Okay. I think so. Let me go check.
As a comic or as a gaming character?
As a gaming character, actually. Yeah, he's on there.
All right. Well, let's... Oh yeah, there it is. Watchguard, Spider Squirrel. Okay.
Yep, he's his stuff's up there. Trash Panda, I think, is up there also because I think I made stats for those for him. It's definitely a team effort over at Xion, and I wouldn't be published in the way that I am for my stuff without Charlie.
Cool.
I always tell people, you know, if you go visit the Xion store looking for my stuff, please look at Charlie's stuff too, because he does great stuff.
He does. All right, cool. Well, hey, DT, it's been a real pleasure talking to you. Anything else we want to cover before we wrap things up?
I don't think so. Just buy all of our books. Buy Jacob's books, buy my books, buy Charlie's books, buy everybody's books.
Okay. Jacob, any closing thoughts from you, sir?
Please support the Patreon for the BAMF podcast so you can get more wonderful content like this.
And I should really mention, because someone told me yesterday they didn't realize I was the same guy. BAMF Podcast is brought to you by Fainting Goat Games. So feel free to check us out. And to all our listeners and viewers out there, thanks for checking us out, the BAMF Podcast, and we will see you next time.
Bye.